1 Kings chapter number 18, and I want to lead up in this message to from where we were at, lead up to this message from where we were at this morning. We had taken Galatians chapter number 5 this morning, and we were making application in Galatians chapter 5 to go along with our theme of press on, and we have begun the first three Sundays of the year of 2020, encouraging you with the subject of pressing on for the Lord and looking back to 2020 at the blessings and the victories God has given us there, not concentrating so much on the challenges, but looking at the blessings, the victories He's given us, and then pressing on in 2021 for the Lord and for the cause of Christ and in our spiritual life and our walk with the Lord and the service and ministry opportunities He will give us this year. We want to press on. And we have been using several of the analogies and illustrations that Paul has given to running the Christian race in our messages that we have started out this year. We took the passage in Philippians chapter 3 and then 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, Hebrews chapter number 12, we concentrated on last Sunday night, and then also in 1 Timothy where he encourages us to endure hardness. And this morning, we talked about the Christian race. It's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 as well. He said to the churches in the region of Galatia there, the Galatian Christians, he said, "Ye did run well." You remember the passage this morning, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. "Ye did run well." And then he said, "Who did hinder you?" And we were talking about the fact that the Galatian Christians had started off the Christian race well, but there was something that had hindered them. There was something that had gotten them off course. We talked about how that there are possibilities of hindrances that may stand in the way as we run the Christian race and we endeavor to finish the Christian race and obtain the prize that God has for us. We told this morning that sometimes those can come outwardly, the hindrances can come outwardly or in external ways through temptations that we may face, the world around us, the devil that we fight as our enemy. But then we also talked about how they can come internally, inwardly as well, as we battle that flesh and the weaknesses that we individually have. That, by the way, we're encouraged from last week to lay aside those weights and the sins which doth so easily beset us. And then we talked about how that people internally can even cause us to be hindered in the race. What we mean by that is Christian individuals who really ought to be the ones encouraging us. And we used some illustrations this morning of how we can be hindered. But I want to talk this evening about a hindrance in the race. We have to make sure we're so careful with this, a hindrance in the race. And we're going to see this from the life of Elijah tonight in 1 Kings chapter number 18. And you'll notice as we look at 1 Kings chapter 18, and then we'll move to 1 Kings chapter number 19, what we're going to notice tonight is we're going to notice a big contrast between the two chapters. If you've studied through 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19, you'll notice the big contrast that takes place. It starts in 1 Kings chapter number 18. Elijah has a contest on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. God gives him victory in that contest. He's very bold and he's very courageous for the Lord. He gives them an opportunity to call on the name of their God. And the God that answers by fire is going to be considered the victor. The Bible tells us after they have spent a large portion of the day calling on their God, Elijah begins to rebuild that altar, doesn't he? And we see that towards the latter part of 1 Kings chapter number 18. And then he prays and he calls on the name of his God. The Bible says, this is what we're going to pick up in our reading, 1 Kings chapter 18. Look down at verse number 36 if you would. It says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice." Elijah has now rebuilt the altar. They've poured the water in to that on that sacrifice and on the altar and around the trench as well. And it says, "And Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then, God responds, doesn't he? Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Elijah, in a very bold and a very courageous way, he goes there to Mount Carmel and God gives him victory in this contest that's on Mount Carmel. He sees a victory there, and God is victorious in that contest there on Mount Carmel. And Elijah victoriously faces the odds of that day, but God answers that prayer. As a matter of fact, at the end of 1 Kings chapter number 18, there's something that's very unique that's said about Elijah. And we want to make sure we say this so that when we transition to chapter number 19, you can see how large the contrast is when we get to chapter 19. Notice he says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. The hand of God is on Elijah. He had experienced God's strength in those moments there to do some extraordinary things for God. Notice it says, and he girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And then we get to chapter number 19. Now what we're going to notice in chapter number 19 is quite a contrast that takes place. Elijah is now fearful. Elijah is running for his life. He's scared. Elijah is exhausted. Elijah's discouraged. And he's to the point where he is wanting to die. The Bible says he runs for his life to the desert and he hides and he crawls up underneath that tree and he desires even to die, that God would even take his life. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. It says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself, leaving his servant there in the desert, he himself, the Bible says, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Elijah is at a point of fear. Elijah is at a point of exhaustion. He's at a point of discouragement. He's at a point where he is running. But what was the reason for the change? We saw a great victory in chapter number 18. And then now we see a discouraged, defeated, running prophet in 1 Kings chapter number 19. Let's notice what the Bible says in verse number 1 and verse number 2 that gives us the reason for this discouragement and fear and fleeing in Elijah's life. Notice what it says in verse number 1. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. The first thing I want you to notice about verse number 1 that we have to understand as we move on, notice what Ahab says here in verse number 1. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that, notice this, that Elijah had done. You notice he doesn't mention what God had done, but instead what Elijah had done. God was the one who gave that great victory on Mount Carmel, wasn't it? It was God that had done that, but he told Jezebel all the things that Elijah had done. Well, the reaction in verse number 2 of Jezebel was one of vengeance, one where she threatens Elijah's life. She's unable to hurt God, but she's able to attack his servant, isn't she? Knowing that she cannot do anything to the God that he serves, but she sure can attack his servant. And so with vengeance, she threatens to take his life and she wants to attack the servant of God. And what I wanted us to see tonight, probably an illustration that we would be able to pull out of this passage every single time, we would be able to see a hindrance that certainly can happen even to us in the Christian race, the hindrance of discouragement. Here's a discouraged prophet along the way, the hindrance that Elijah faces. First of all, before we get to the discouragement that Elijah, that we're going to notice about the life of Elijah here in 1 Kings chapter number 19, I want us to understand that discouragement is something that's universal, isn't it? It's not that Elijah is discouraged just because he is a prophet of God. Discouragement can happen to all of us, can it? Discouragement is something that is universal. It doesn't matter what our job is. It doesn't matter what our title is. It doesn't matter what our status is on this earth. Discouragement is something that can take place in the life of anyone. And discouragement can quickly defeat us. One of the statements that I often try to encourage when I bring up the thought of discouragement is we may be discouraged at times in our Christian life and at times along the race that we have for the Lord, but don't stay there long. Don't stay in that place for a long amount of time. Allow God to encourage you. And we're going to see this along the way here in 1 Kings chapter number 19. It's been said this way, and I think it's so true. Someone once said, I do not know anything that will take the wind out of your sails quite so quickly as discouragement. It is true. Matter of fact, we see it in this passage, don't we? The encouragement, the encouraged prophet because of the victory on Mount Carmel in chapter number 18 and the great contrast in 1 Kings chapter number 19. Here's the encouraged prophet that quickly becomes discouraged. And so let's make sure that we notice what happens in the life of Elijah to encourage us tonight so that we are not hindered along the Christian race that we're running for the Lord with this thought of discouragement. We're going to notice in the life of Elijah some problems that led to his discouragement. Would you notice these in chapter number 19? Some problems that led to his discouragement. The first one I want you to notice is this: expectation. Expectation, a problem that led to his discouragement. Expectation. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Jezebel then immediately sends a messenger to say that she is going to do the same to Elijah. His life will be taken, and then he flees for his life. With the power of God so clearly shown in 1 Kings chapter number 18, perhaps Elijah expected a great change to take place in the life of King Ahab. That didn't happen, did it? There was not a great change that took place in the life of Ahab. Perhaps Elijah was expecting some positive response from King Ahab. Notice Ahab's attributes, all that happened to Elijah and not God. We read that in verse number 1. He says all the things that had happened that Elijah had done. Have you had a time in which results were not your expectation? Consider that today. The things that are reality or become results are not what you expected they would be. You know, in our life sometimes we might expect something and expectations can even become demands sometimes. We expected something from God and He didn't give it to us maybe exactly the way we wanted it, and we can get to the point where we almost demand that God would do it for us. Elijah perhaps was expecting some kind of a different response from Ahab, but she goes and she talks to Jezebel, and Jezebel is seeking his life. Results that you have from God may not meet your expectations, but remember, results are in God's hands, aren't they? He is in control. He is the one at work. So don't expect results from God in a certain way and be discouraged when what you expected were going to be the results are not exactly the way God does it. Results are in God's hands. regardless of how things may appear to us. We are not able to change circumstances to what we want. So we just live in obedience to Him, and we're faithful to what He calls us to do. Notice the second thing that we'll see in verse number 3 and verse number 4, a problem that Elijah had that led to his discouragement. Number one, expectation. Expectation, and the results were different than what was expected, and it led to his discouragement. And then number two, the word focus. His focus. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. It says, and when he saw that, he's hearing the plan of Jezebel. He's realizing what's going to happen. And notice what it says. He arose and went for his life, coming to Beersheba that belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there, and then, of course, went a little farther, another day's journey, and he sits under that juniper tree and requesting for himself that he would die. Notice his focus. He ran without seeking God's direction. The Bible tells us that he's seeking shelter under a juniper tree when he should have been seeking shelter from his God. He's running away. He's fleeing without God's direction. He's focused on the conditions. He's focused on his power, and he's focused on the problem and not God. His motivation is now gone. He's now lost heart for the work that he's in. Can I encourage you, when we're focused, when it comes to this subject of focus, not to walk by sight, but walk by faith? The Bible tells us that in the book of Corinthians, doesn't it? For we walk by faith, not by sight. When we walk by sight instead of faith, we get our focus off of the Lord. Back to what we talked about last Sunday night, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, keeping our focus on Him, have faith in His sovereign control, have faith in His providence, have faith in His faithfulness and His promises and the principles in His Word, and even at times of discouragement, continue on in what God has called you to do. Concentrating on the things that you've already accomplished for God's glory and looking ahead at what can be done, all that's already been done, and all that God is able to see me complete in the future as well. But one thing we have to remember when it comes to discouragement is we cannot be focused on our problems and our God at the same time. We put our focus on our problems and we're walking by sight. We put our focus on our God and we're walking by faith. Let's keep our focus on God. Let's make sure we're looking at Him and keeping our focus on Him. I want you to notice really quickly a passage of Scripture that we are very close to. I just thought it was a verse that would illustrate this so well. 2 Chronicles. We're very close to 2 Chronicles there. I thought we would be able to turn there very quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I want you to notice something that was said by King Jehoshaphat that I believe goes so well with this. Just an encouragement for those who were serving the Lord. Notice what Jehoshaphat says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to look down at verse number 12. Notice what it says. It says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. And then notice the very end of the verse. What an encouragement for us. He says, but our eyes are upon thee. All the encouragement of keeping our focus on the Lord. The result may not be what we expected, but let's make sure we're trusting God. Let's make sure that we're putting our faith in Him and we keep our focus on Him. But then the third word I want you to see tonight as we bring this message to a close tonight, I want you to notice the third word in the life of Elijah. We've seen expectation. He's expecting something, perhaps, and it didn't come about exactly like the results were that he was expecting. And his focus wasn't on God like it should have been. He ran away from God and God's direction for him. But then notice number three, the third word. I want you to notice the word strength. I want you to notice the word strength. We've seen the word expectation that was part of the problem that led to Elijah's discouragement. And then we used the word focus. But then let's notice the word strength. Elijah had lost his strength. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he needed to be strengthened, didn't he? That loss of strength had led to his discouragement. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. We read verse 1 through 4. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. It says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." Now, if you would go back up to, and for sake of time, we won't read it again, but if we would go back up to verse number 4, we would notice at the end of verse number 3 that he left his servant there, and he himself went another day's journey into the wilderness. So he travels with his servant for a distance, and then he leaves his servant there, and he travels another distance of a day's journey into the wilderness, and he's underneath this juniper tree, perhaps thinking that he was all alone, but God was seeking him, wasn't he? Isn't that an encouragement to you that when you go through times of discouragement where you may perhaps even feel like you've lost your strength, and your source of strength is, or your strength is depleted and you can't go on any longer, and you may at times even feel like you're all alone, isn't it comforting to know that God is there, isn't he? He is seeking us out, and that's exactly what God does for Elijah. It reminds me of the wonderful illustration that we have in Luke chapter number 15 of the prodigal son, where the father seeks for the son, doesn't he? The son has gone away, and he seeks for the son, and he's looking for him, perhaps every single day, waiting for that son to come back, anticipating the return of that son. And when the son comes back, the father's on his way to the path where his son is returning to meet him, isn't he? And then we brought this up in Sunday school a few weeks ago. We talked about how when the older brother was even out and would not come in, the father came out for him as well, didn't he? The Father's seeking us, isn't he? He doesn't want us to live a discouraged life. And Elijah may have thought he was all alone, but God was seeking after him. He was not alone, was he? God had provided an angel. And this angel begins to minister to him. This angel begins to help him to gain his strength back. Isn't it encouraging to know that, again, when you may feel like you've lost your strength, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. My presence is always going to be there with you. Notice what he says in verse number 6. He says, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. That angel touches him. He delivers that message in verse 5 of arise and eat. He eats and then he lays himself back down again. You'll notice verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He's lost his strength, but God is there to seek him out. God is there to bring this angel to provide the strength that he needs. Notice verse number 8. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Can I say this? That God is the source of our strength, isn't he? When we get to the place where we feel like all of our strength is gone, maybe the results weren't what I expected and I've kind of turned my focus away from the Lord and I feel drained of my strength, God is there and he is the source of our strength. Now we need to remember this great truth when we're busy serving spiritually and we get to a point where we feel like we're losing our strength. We're busy in the work of the Lord and it just seems like the strength is not there. It seems like the source of strength that we need for our journey is not there to finish the Christian race. Aren't you thankful that God supplies the strength, doesn't he? And we're going to notice as we finish off some verses in this chapter, I want you to notice as we finish here tonight how God deals with his discouragement. God is there to provide a source of strength, and God deals with his discouragement in a very wonderful way. And by the way, it's a great example for us tonight as well, how God will encourage us when we may face moments of discouragement. We're all going to be there, aren't we? We don't want to stay there long. We're all going to be there. We don't want to stay there long. We don't want to be defeated by discouragement. We don't want it to hinder us as we're running the Christian race. And so notice how God deals with Elijah's discouragement. We already read verse 5 through 8, and I think we noticed something very unique. We noticed that before God deals with him spiritually, he meets his need physically, doesn't he? He realizes the prophet is in need of some nourishment. He's in need of some rest. There's some spiritual things that need to be dealt with. But before even dealing with the spiritual needs, he provides for him physically. He gives him some nourishment. He gives him some rest. And then I want us to look down at verse number 9. I want us to notice that now God moves towards the spiritual problem that Elijah faces. And I want us to notice that God caused Elijah to deal with his problem. You know, that's exactly what God will do for us when we're in moments of discouragement. God will cause us to deal with our problem. Again, we don't want to stay there long, and so allow God to encourage you. Allow God to help you. Find out what is the source of your discouragement and allow God to help you along the way. Notice what it says in verse number 9. It says, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, notice the answer that Elijah gives. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Notice even the statement of discouragement, even in that verse, even in the response that he gives to God. I've done this great work, but I'm the only one that remains. And now I'm in this place because they're seeking to take my life. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 13. It says, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He asks him a second time, doesn't he? He's causing Elijah to deal with the problem that he has. Look at verse 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Notice, when God causes him to deal with the problem that he has, God begins to speak to him personally. We read in verse number 9 where God speaks to him personally. We read in verse number 13. Notice verse number 12. The Bible says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. God speaks to Elijah personally in a still small voice. Notice verse number 15, if you would. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Again, the voice of God that personally speaks to Elijah. That's an illustration for you and I. We need the words of God in our life, don't we? At times when we're discouraged, that's exactly what we need. We need the words of God. We'll receive encouragement by it. Where do the words of God come from? They come from the time where we spend focused on His Word, reading His Word and allowing Him to speak to us. The Bible says in the story of David, the account of David, that when David was discouraged, what does the Bible say he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Again, one of the great means that we have, the source of our strength, to go to God and to go to His Word and find encouragement from Him. But then I want you to notice this process is not done. God has addressed his nourishment that he needs. He's taken care of the rest that Elijah needs. He gets Elijah to a point where he deals with the problem that he's having in his own heart. God's speaking to him personally. He's delivering his message to Elijah. But then I want us to notice that God also gives him a job to continue on in. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. God has a job for him. I'm not done with you yet, Elijah. You might have a moment where you're discouraged. Hey, listen, as a Christian, if you're in the race and you're discouraged, just continue on in God's work. Just focus on him. What a way to be encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord and encourage yourself as you get your focus back on him and as you continue on in the work that he has called for you to do. But then notice, there's something else that God does for Elijah. He allows Elijah to acknowledge the problem. He speaks to Elijah exactly the same way we need God's word to speak to us. He gives him a job to continue on in, but then you'll notice for the discouraged prophet, he also reassures him. If we would go back up to verse number 10, at the very end of verse number 10, what did the prophet Elijah say? He said, I only am left. I'm the only one left. And they're seeking my life to take it away. If we would go down to verse number 14 at the very end of the verse. He says, I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Well, what's the reassurance that God gives to Elijah? Look down if you would at verse number 18. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Now we'll notice up at verse number 10 and up to verse number 14. Elijah has gotten to the place in his discouragement where he feels like he's all alone. I'm the only one left. But God gives him some reassurance, doesn't he? He gives him a reminder that you're not the only one left. There are 7,000 in Israel. And notice what it says. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. What encouragement that comes from the Lord. Reassurance. Reminders of the promises of our God. The reassurance that God gives to the discouraged prophet. But then there's one more thing I want us to notice as we're coming towards the end of this chapter. Look at one more encouraging truth that we see that God gives to the discouraged prophet. He's taking care of his nourishment and he provides him the rest that he needs and he allows him to deal with his problem. He speaks to him personally. He gives him a job to continue on with. He gives him reassurance that you are not the only one. And then he also provides him some help. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. What an encouragement for Elijah that there is help in the service of the Lord. What an encouragement for us that we can encourage one another. I'd say that we would all acknowledge the truth that if we tried to tackle every job in the service of the Lord, we'd be physically exhausted, wouldn't we? But isn't it good to know that God's provided help? As the body of Christ, all the members of the body of Christ come together to get the work done for the Lord. And you know what that does? We encourage one another, don't we? We encourage one another when God sends help along the way. It's encouraging when we see each other serving the Lord together and fulfilling the task that God has for us in a unique way, a way that he's able to use our lives to get a task done for the Lord. We were talking about this not too long ago. We had a situation there where Miss Joyce and I were dealing with the problem with the computer back in the office there. And there was a program that needed to be looked at. And we had somebody that stepped up and said, well, I'll take care of that. I can research that. I can study that out a little bit. I can get that done for you. And the job got done, didn't it? All coming together as a body together, members of a body, where we get the work done for the Lord, encouraging one another. God encouraging us, but then we encourage one another, don't we? We pray for one another. We get the work done for the Lord together. As we are encouraged, we can encourage one another. But let us not get to the place where the opposite of that is true. When we're discouraged and we discourage one another. Let's make sure we're encouraging instead of discouraging. Let's make sure we're realizing these truths that we've seen here in 1 Kings chapter number 19, so that we're not hindered and defeated by discouragement. Now, we would be wrong if we would stand here tonight and say we'll never face it. We're going to face times of discouragement. But we don't want to let it defeat us, do we? We don't want to let it hinder us in the race. So let's press on. Let's move past the hindrance of discouragement, not to stay there long, but to be encouraged in the Lord. Remember these great principles that we see here in the life of Elijah, from God who helps Elijah. And then let's make sure we're encouraging one another as well. To come along beside somebody, maybe in a time of a burden or a time of a need or a time they really need to come along beside them and pray with them or encourage them in that way. And let's just be encouragements as Christians. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this evening? Just a thought about a hindrance in our race as we're pressing on for the Lord. And maybe tonight.